recording.
Okay. Thank you.
So you're gonna... Okay.
Even if it never sees the light of day. I think it's just an extension of therapy at this point. Which one's my headphone? Oh my gosh, that was really loud.
Is that too loud?
Yeah. Thanks. I'm good. Yeah. Check, check. Yep. No? Yeah? Which one are you looking for?
Sound or sound?
Yeah. Sound? Okay. Yeah? No? Decoder. Yes? Input. Yeah. Input level is in?
Right there.
Right? Yeah?
Okay. All right.
Okay, thanks.
You're off. I feel like that woman got kicked off Kevin James' show. Come on, Ruby. No, she doesn't want to start a show. Whatever. You need anything?
No, I'm good. Thanks. I got it. Hey, this is Jess. For the last couple of months, I have toyed with the idea of doing my own podcast, just me by myself and a microphone. And I wanted to discuss the things going on in my life and the things going on in the lives of the people closest to me. I don't think it's... I think it's very obvious that not only is the climate of the world uneasy, but it feels like in each of our lives, things appear to be a little bit more in turmoil. And if this doesn't apply to you, I'm so happy for you. However, I guess if I take it back as far as I can, I would say in January of 2009, I was divorced and after that, I was engaged and then I broke up in October of 2012 and then in July of 2013, my daughter was diagnosed with epilepsy. And over the course of the next 6 months, we would discover it's refractory epilepsy. And that has been its own journey with a special needs child that up until she was 7 years old, we didn't know that she was special needs. And if anything, things have gotten worse. So since then, I've cohabitated with her dad. We've tried like hell to make it work. And recently, things have been a lot harder than I anticipated. Actually, the last 5 years have been a lot harder than I anticipated. I have a 14-year-old son who's doing 14-year-old boy things and struggling with his own mental health. Only actually in the last few months has it come to light. As in the last 6 months, my mental health has been, I don't know if I want to say the worst, but I have struggled more in the last 6 months with my mental health than I've ever struggled in my life. And as a teenager, as exactly where my son is now, that's when I first started to struggle. And I don't know if I really struggled or if it was just a teenage girl with her dad and maybe dad not being 100% certain on how to handle the emotions of a teenage girl going through puberty. However, that was very dramatic. I didn't make it easy on anybody, especially myself. So I had every antidepressant and anti-anxiety medication under the sun. When in all actuality, I needed to be taught coping skills. And so that's how I'm addressing my son and what he's going through as a teenager, is learning coping skills and being aware of his actions. I mean, all things that we can still use today. So back in September, I entered therapy with that exact goal of learning new coping skills. Coping skills dealing with a relationship that was falling apart. Coping skills of just raising a mindful teenage son. And coping skills of everything that comes with having a special needs child. And in that therapy, it's almost been like boot camp. We have to tear you down to build you back up. We have to get down to your base, your root. Everything that's made you who you are today, the things you've maybe buried, the things that you've identified as, the crosses you've bared, all these things that, like, we have to get to the root of everything before we can start to heal. And I guess I wasn't ready to heal. I wanted to cope. The last thing I wanted to do was heal. No. Just give me the tools to keep living this lie. Just give me the tools to be a decent parent on the surface. Just give me the tools to keep faking this relationship so that everybody looks comfortable. But least of all you. No. You don't get to live your best life. You need to make sure that everybody around you is okay. That the people that make your life hard are okay. But don't you ever worry about you. And I think this is something that happens often, more often than people are willing to realize, that you think that you have to go through the motions and you have to put on this act not to shake the boat. And so I've often found that my response to, hey, how's it going, is, it's not that bad. And that's no way to live your life. It's not that bad. But I feel like a lot of people do that. The people who are probably miserable inside are the people that respond with, it's not that bad. And it's also a point of perspective that I know that things could be worse, and I know that there are people that are experiencing far worse hardships than I am. However, I don't want to live a life that's not that bad. And I'm ready to be honest about that. But there is an intense amount of work that goes into living a life that's more. For me, anyway, that's my story. Is that I have to go places that I don't want to go. I have to say things that I don't want to say. I have to acknowledge people that I don't want to acknowledge them as a stressor in my life. I don't want to acknowledge them. That's all. But there's so often there are these people that kind of eat away at us every day. And they probably aren't even aware of it, you know? And I just didn't want to acknowledge it. However, it's how I feel is it has nothing to do with them. I've made them this central role of my life. I've made them a headliner. I have made them, you know, a main character, and probably in their lives, I mean nothing, but I've let them affect my life to the point that, that I've made myself miserable, and that's nobody's fault but my own. So I want to dive into the subjects that have affected me so much in the last, I think, 5 or 6 years is fair to say, and could go back further, but I'm going to start there. I have dealt with addiction in my life. I have dealt with secrets. God, secrets. And secrets will eat away at your soul. Your secrets, their secrets, his secrets, her secrets. And the shame that comes with carrying someone else's secrets. And you think you're protecting you, and you're protecting them, and you're protecting the kids, and you're protecting the family, and you're protecting the friends, and you're protecting. It's just there's so much. My family has experienced so much heartache as a result of family secrets. So when I entered therapy back in September, like I said, I was trying to find coping mechanisms, and I am a person who acknowledges my feelings. Love it. Like I will acknowledge all of the feelings. Yes, this is how I feel now, and this is exactly how I should feel, and I know the process. I know that if I feel like I need to cry, I need to cry, and if I'm angry, I need to be angry, and I've always been very, very open to the process of feelings, the stages of mourning, you know, those types of things. Like get here, feel here, do this. But I'm also a person that needs to move through those feelings as quickly as possible. I'm going to cry. And then when I've cried for 10 minutes. That's enough. Let's move on to the next. Okay. How do I feel now? All right. And then I'm going to be angry. And this is how I'm going to feel right now. And I'm going to be angry. And the biggest thing that I have learned in therapy in the last few months is you don't always get to move through things when you're ready to move through things. Sometimes the only thing you can do is sit in the mess and have all the feelings. And sometimes crying for 10 minutes isn't going to get it. Sometimes it's crying for 4 or 5 days. Sometimes it's being so vulnerable and your heart just being so open and feeling rejection and pain and hurt. And it's not anybody else's responsibility to fix that except yours. So I've had to dive into my codependency and how so often the actions and the words and the decisions and the feelings of other people shape my life every day to the point that it became debilitating. It became miserable, 100% miserable. And it almost felt like it was everybody in my life. Everybody. If I felt like someone walked past me on the street and looked at me cross or was judging the way I was dressed or if I accidentally cut someone off in traffic, whatever it was, it would wreck my day. It would shape my day. But it was always the negative parts of it. It wasn't ever like someone said, hey, you're beautiful. Or, hey, you know, I listened to your podcast and it's so funny. I love it. I'm a big fan. Or if someone told me that my children were polite, any of those things, I would forget them as soon as they were spoke. I had those things did not affect my day. Only the most negative things affected my day. And in the worst ways. It's taken me a very long time. I say it often, but I don't often apply it that, hey, you never know what anybody else's story is. You have no idea what other people are experiencing. And I guess I say that the most because I hope that people understand that in my experience, there's times when I'm short or tired or frazzled. And to be quite honest, it's often because of my daughter and her epilepsy. And I would try to apply those things to other people, but I had a really hard time. It's such a selfish feeling. So it's so selfish to be codependent, like to assume that everybody is thinking about you, but in actuality, you're constantly thinking of other people and how they feel about you. It's like to assume that anybody or maybe we all are that selfish in our thoughts. I'm not sure. But I know that the people that have probably hurt me the most were completely unaffected by it. So as I go on this podcast journey and how this is going to unravel, progress, I hope to have guests on who are experiencing things they wake up in the morning and maybe they're in the middle of a trauma or they're experiencing heartache or this sounds like a really depressing podcast, but I don't want it to be. My point is that sometimes the best thing you can say to yourself is it's not that bad, but you can only say that for so long before you really have to put forth the effort to say something better. So it's okay to move through a time that, you know what? Yeah, it's not that bad. And I usually do say that, but I'm going to be really, really honest. In the last couple months, it has been that bad. It's been terrible. I've been in the deepest depression that I have experienced as an adult. And I have always taken pride in the fact that when I was sad, I could just say I was sad. And I feel like sometimes the word depression is overused in our society. And so I would just say, you know what? I'm having a bad day. This is a low point in the day. And I'm going to move through it. That doesn't make it a bad day. And then I would say, well, you know what? It's not a bad few days. I'm just sad for a few days. And it's not a bad week. It's just been a bad series of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, it's not, but I'm going to get through it. And I always said, hey, I know I'm not going to feel this way forever. I see the light at the end of the tunnel, all of the things that I've read and heard from therapists and blah, 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 blah. But in the last few months, I've not been able to say that. I've not been able to say I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I've not been able to say that I'm just sad. Not out loud anyway. because there was a weakness in being depressed for me. I carry the emotional load of my entire family. Max and Addie's dad, Max and Addie, my son and daughter. And I feel like emotionally all of my responses to the good, the bad, the ugly in our life has been to try to teach my children the coping skills that I wish I had, not the ones I actually use. Not, you know, I really haven't taught them to lay in the fetal position in your closet and cry. We haven't got there yet. But are there times that they've seen me do that? Absolutely. So I am actually moving through the most depressed time of my life. And I feel like I'm on an island. But I see the boats. I see help. I feel like they've got some of those big bullhorns and they're yelling at me and I can hear the good things and I can see that they're on their way, so that there is help. And between my therapist and my close friends and some of my family, I'm gonna get on the other side of this. But there are still moments where I lose sight of the boat. It's dark and it's scary and I have thoughts that I have never had before in my life. And I don't think that I'm alone in this. I know that there's other people that have experienced depression. And I know that there are people who have not got on the other side of it. And there are people who have felt this way for years or their entire lives. But I've tried to actively address it. I've tried to do it in the best way that I know. And I've also treated it in the worst ways that I know. And the best way is getting a therapist in the last few months. Reading lots of books. Lots of self-help books, which I've always been a fan of. Happy or sad. Journaling. Being honest about my feelings. Setting boundaries. Redefining who I am, saying no when I want to say no, not people pleasing, not worrying about what people's perception of me is. And actually only in the last 2 weeks, don't laugh when I say this, but I've been attending the Buddha Center, and I call it Buddha Church. Because, you know, I have an issue with the word church and what goes on in churches. But it's kind of what it is, you know, for a few hours every Sunday, you go in and it's kind of like a book club, you know. There's different texts that you move through for different things and. So I've even gone that far, and I've dabbled in meditation and chanting and Kundalini yoga and things actually to heal my mind, not as much as my body, but it's been, unfortunately the phrase in my mind pops up like it's going to get harder before it gets easier and it's going to get worse before it gets better. And every time I think that, no, like, oh, look at this progress. Look what you're doing. You're look at these giant steps you're making. I get kicked again. It's like you fall down and you're up on one knee and you're like, oh, you know what? I'm getting up. I'm okay. And then, man, something else just kicks you square in the face. And I feel like that's what's been going on the last few months of my life. And nobody likes to play the poor, pitiful me card. I especially don't. My dad didn't allow that kind of attitude in our house growing up. And like I said, there are always people that are in far worse situations than I am. However, I have a voice. And I'm going to use it. So on this podcast, like I said, I'm going to have guests. I'm going to talk about books. I'm going to talk about the teachings I'm going through. I'm going to touch on some journal entries that I've done. I don't want this to be, you know what, if it's self-help, if it's not, whatever. If it's like these little miniature biographies of people's lives and what they've experienced and maybe even take questions from listeners and what your experiences are, things that I don't know anything about, but I'm willing to help and be interested. And this is kind of just gonna unfold how everything in my life unfolds. I have this little idea I carry around for a year to 6 months, and then finally one day I get up the nerve to follow through. That's how it was with Buddha Church. That's how it was with pottery class. That's how it is with so many things in my life. And also appreciating my process. My process may not be the same for everybody and same. I mean, obviously it's not the same as anybody else's, and maybe your process is different, but appreciating your process, going through your process. And even though mine doesn't look the same as yours or his or hers, that doesn't make it wrong. Obviously, unless there's self-harm involved or harming other people, that's when it's wrong. And I'm in being completely transparent, I've been very concerned with the possibility of addiction in my life and coping mechanisms that aren't safe and aren't healthy for me. And being concerned about the people around me that make excuses for that. Like I said, I don't want this to be a poor, pitiful me podcast. As much as I'd love to make people laugh, and eventually, and I'm sure it'll happen. I have so many wonderful people in my life that are very funny, that have gone through some crap, and we're just here to share that. We're here to share these stories of getting on the other side of it. But like I said, you're actually meeting me in the middle of my process. And as much as I want to say that I'm on the upside, this morning I was not on the upside. This is, you know, late afternoon, and I feel better than I felt earlier this morning. And I don't know how I'm going to feel tomorrow. But all of the things that come with being depressed is almost the least worrisome, because you have insomnia. In my case, you have comfort eating. You have fatigue. You feel lethargic. You just stop doing the things that you love and that you care about. That you did love and you did care about, but also that's a part of the process. What did you really love and care about it? Or was it surface? Was it just a band-aid? Was it things that you pretended like you loved to do because you wanted people to like you and to accept you? And what does all this mean? What are we trying to do here? What are we so scared of? What laid in the truth? You know what I'm saying. That we're so terrified to figure out. That voice in our head that tells us this is a bad day and this is a good day. That voice in our head that says, you're depressed. This voice in our head that says, take that pain pill. That voice in our head that says, now you should probably do a couple of shots. That we're just trying to make that voice healthier. That's all. To put that voice on our side, for that voice to be our advocate and our friend and our caretaker. And with that means we become our own caretaker, and our voice is that voice. It's not the voice of an abuser or a parent or a judgmental friend. Like, we make that our voice. And through this, I'm realizing how important self-care is. And I know, you guys, I wish there was another word for it, because I'm sick to death of hearing it too. But it's a real thing, and it's beneficial. And it sounds crazy, but the one thing that I can do for self-care right now, and it is nuts. It's nuts. Because I can't get on board with anything else. I can't encourage myself outside of going to therapy, and that's probably a form of self-care. But another form of self-care for me right now is cold showers. Freezing cold showers in the morning. And I say that like, oh, I've been doing this forever. Actually, today was day three. But it does get easier. And there are significant health benefits of circulation and things like that. But also, like, it's an immediate stress reliever. You know, and I'm kind of like literally taking it minute by minute. There are times where I feel so overwhelmed, and this year I have experienced, not even this year, in the last couple months, I've experienced 3 panic attacks, and I didn't know what they were when they were happening. I didn't even know I was capable of a panic attack. I didn't think that things were like that for me, but looking back on it now and literally feeling those feelings unfold and being out of control of the situation was terrifying. It was terrifying. I made the comparison that having a panic attack is like having food poisoning. Like, you're sitting there, you're aware. Like, the last time I was aware, because I did the research and thought, something's not right here. This isn't how I've ever behaved. There's something wrong. And so the next time that it happened, like you have food poisoning, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. You have to sit there and you have to puke your guts out or do whatever and be miserable and have no control over the situation, even though you know it'll eventually pass, but you don't know when. Like food poisoning. Like, okay, I know that I feel the worst I have ever felt in my life right now. But I do know that it's going to pass. And that has been my experience during a panic attack. The last thing I'm doing is making light of it. I just never knew that I would be a person that would be able to have a panic attack. Realizing now what a panic attack is, and that I have experienced medically induced panic attacks in the past, and that's something I'll address on another podcast. The effects of anti-anxiety, anti-depression, ADD medication, and how my body metabolizes those things. But it's and it's different for everybody. And I've talked to close friends and family who have also had the experience of a panic attack. Like I said earlier, I am going to get on the other side of this. And I feel that way at this moment. I don't know how I'll feel 5 minutes from now. I don't know how I'll feel an hour from now. I don't know how I'll feel when I go to bed. I don't know how I'll feel when I wake up in the morning. Actually, I do feel like I'll know how I'll wake up in the morning, because my mornings are my worst and it takes the longest time to get out of bed. But that's another thing. I'm trying to have rituals, like I said, with the cold showers and moving through those feelings, and not just sitting in bed and thinking about how the day's going to be terrible and dreading it. Instead, taking control of that voice in my head, exchanging damaging afflicted emotions for emotions that I may not even feel, but I'm just going to replace them with, you know, saying so-and-so hates me. And instead of saying so-and-so hates me, I actually name the people that love me. And that's an exercise that I've done in the last 4 days. I've had feelings of rejection. And in the worst way, rejection from family, abandonment. When it rains, it pours. And I never really, you know, I didn't feel like I had experienced that as extremely as I have experienced it recently. And I'm going to just keep saying the last 6 months. In June 29th of this year, I turned 36 years old. And since I was in the third grade, the number 36 has been my favorite number. Don't laugh. I don't know why. But as soon as I said that, I looked up at the computer and I was at 3606 when I said that. So still a big believer in things like that. And 36 has been my favorite number. And so I had always assumed that 36 would be my best year. And so far, it has been by far the hardest year of my life. I think it's, in general, 2017 has been bumpy for a lot of people. But maybe 36 will not be the best year of my life. Or maybe it will. But I know that 36 will be the year that I poured my heart and soul into me. That I broke some behaviors that weren't serving me to my highest good. That I set boundaries with people who have continually broken my heart. That I've set boundaries with people that haven't, that I just needed to let go of the idea of these relationships and what they were supposed to look like. But the biggest thing is that I need to let go of the idea of what I'm supposed to look like. The idea that I've built up in my head of where I'm supposed to be at 36 and where my children are supposed to be and what my relationships are supposed to look like. I have to let go of these expectations. And I have said on previous and other podcasts that the expectations can ruin your life. And I feel like they have. That's also been a huge thing that I have had to address, is the expectations I have in the people around me are insane. They're insane. I have ridiculously high expectations of everyone around me. And I think it's because I was willing to do ridiculous things to make them happy and basically set them up for failure in that, well, look what I did for you and you didn't deliver for me. And that's a horrible way, a very one-sided, selfish way to have relationships. One of the books that I'll discuss on the podcast is The Road Back to You. And this has been a huge tool in helping me know who I am. It addresses the Enneagram and knowing where you are at your worst, knowing where you are at your everyday, and knowing where you are at your best, and using those characteristics to gauge you and bring you back to center. I'll probably talk a little bit about religion too. I'll talk a lot about religion. I'm not going to lie. I'll probably discuss that and my journey back to religion and what that relationship looks like. Something very big for me, even to return to any kind of, even to introduce myself to Buddhism and even to let my daughter go to vacation Bible school and those things, that's been a huge, those have been huge for me. growing up in a cult-like church that brought so much pain to my immediate family, I had abandoned it. I had abandoned anything that I knew as God or Jesus, because I had been taught that God is a punishing God. God is not a forgiving God or a loving God. And to be fearful. And I feel like I live in fear every day. So being fearful of this big white-haired man in the sky, just it didn't serve me. But what also didn't serve me was having a tremendous amount of hate for any kind of God, and completely turning my back on any spiritual relationship. Whether it was public in a church or, you know, in the privacy of my own home. I had abandoned all religion and all spirituality. I've just adopted a karma-like attitude. And even moving through that and wondering if karma is real and wondering, you know, like something that I've had to say a lot lately, especially when I don't want to take so many things personally. Even when people are saying very hurtful personal things about me, I have said, this isn't happening to me. It's happening around me. Things don't happen directly to me. These are just experiences that I'm witnessing and moving through. And it's just, God, it seems like so much psychobabble. I agree. However, it's a part of the path. Like, if it works for me, that's the thing, is that I've decided that I'm not closed off to everything anymore. I have to be open to all the possibilities of healing. And I don't know what's next. Like, what if turns out like bicycling is what heals me? I don't know. I bought a bicycle a couple years ago, a really like serious road bicycle. I think I rode it twice, and it's been hanging in my garage since. But hey, you know what? It's been there, and there's a reason it's been there. And when I figure out what the reason is, I'll let you guys know. But, you know, I also just like to, like, buy all the things for a hobby and then do it for, like, 2 weeks and then be done with it. We'll address that, too. So, I want you guys to know if there's any topics or interests or things that you would like for me to address or guests that you would like to suggest. I am open to all of it. We are on this journey of healing together. It's going to be sad, and we're going to cry, and we're going to laugh too, because that's just how I get down. You know what? And maybe it won't happen in the same episode. I don't know. But, you know, right now I seem pretty manic, so chances are it might happen. I don't expect to fix you. I'm not a professional. I am far from a professional. I am a professional in having all the feels. I don't know if they grant PhDs to people who feel like they have experienced every emotion under the sun. If that was the case, go ahead, get me a robe and the funny hat, because I am ready for my doctorate. But I just want to be another tool. I want to be another voice. I want to be an aid. I want to be an advocate. I want to be all these things, but don't get it twisted. This is also serving me. I want to talk to other people, because I have found often that in all walks of life, but especially when it came to my daughter and her special needs, that I have received the most valuable information from other people who have been in my situation. Not doctors, not therapists, not teachers, not administrators, not counselors. I mean, it is people who have walked in my shoes, who have been there and seen the things that I've seen. Those people have given me the most beneficial. The word is beneficial. they have given me the most beneficial information. And that's what I want this to be. I would like for this to be a trade of information, of coping tools, of what benefits you and what serves you and what doesn't. In no way is this a prescription or a substitute or anything, you know. I always encourage you, like, even when you feel like that voice in your head isn't serving you as well as it could, make those choices. And another thing that I've learned is that so often we listen to so many there's so much outside stimulus between media and magazines and social media. Yuck, right now I'm over it, but hey, listen to my podcast. That we have written off that voice, like I said, that voice, but it's also our instincts. Our instincts aren't wrong. It's okay to follow your instincts. It's okay if something tells you, like, hey, you know what, this doesn't feel right. And if you want to leave it, then leave it. Or if, you know what, I really feel like I should go to that meeting today. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I should go. Yeah, but then I'm going to have to get out of bed, and I'm going to have to shower, and I'm going to put on clothes and probably some deodorant, maybe brush my teeth. I don't know how far we're going to get with this, but I feel, you know what, then do it. And don't be concerned with your outward appearance. Like, do what serves you. Follow your gut, whatever that is, whatever it looks like. Another thing that has really been helpful for me recently is speaking things out loud. So often you just get those repetitive thoughts that you're just like, oh my goodness, if I have to think this one more time, and just how do I put this fire out? And just, there have been so many moments in the last few months where I have looked at myself in the mirror and I have said things to me, myself, that I wanted to say to other people, and the power of just saying them out loud. And there are times where I haven't even had the courage to say them out loud to myself, that I've had to write them down in a very private journal, and a very private journal as opposed to a not private journal. I don't know. It's a very, like, that's what it says on the front. Very private journal. No, it doesn't. But I've had to write them down as opposed to speaking them to my face, because some of the truth that I'm carrying around for other people are so hurtful still to my heart that they're hard to say to me. But also in protecting the people that I want to love and that I want to love me, I do have to speak those truths out loud. And I do have to be the person that tells myself, you can't twist and manipulate these things anymore. This is the truth, and you have to live with this truth. And some people aren't going to change. But back to the point, speaking things out loud, It might not help you forever, but it does help lift that heaviness, to get rid of that heaviness that so many of us carry around when we're just consumed by these thoughts. Also, going outside, and this sounds crazy too, I've gone outside and I have yelled. I mean, depending where you are and how close your neighbors are, be careful. I've screamed and yelled things. I've screamed and yelled how much I hate someone. I've screamed and yelled how much I love someone. I've screamed and yelled how much I hate disease, or how much puberty with a 14-year-old is ruining my life. Just random things that I was just like so emotionally charged that the only place that I could get them out was like literally to yell them and watch them float away. I know, but here's the thing. Sometimes what you read in a book isn't going to help you, and you have to figure out things on your own. And I'm sure I'm not the first person that's done any of this, but these are just a few things that I would like to share that have benefited me the most in the last 6 months. Things that I've done that I don't think are benefiting me that I'm currently doing is, I've drank alcohol probably to excess too often. And that's an issue within my family, alcoholism. And if I have to say that out loud, then I know that there's an issue. However, I think that all of us have crutches that we use to get through things, and being mindful of it right now. Like I also said, I eat to excess, and I know that that hasn't served me. I've ate until I throw up because I don't want to feel empty. And there's times where literally my whole, like my being just feels empty. That was a little bit harder to say out loud than I thought, but it is, it's true. There's so many things that people share. I mean, I have dabbled with diet pills for years, taken diet pills as uppers more than actually for diet, but because of my inability to sleep and my daughter's illness and things like that, I have relied on diet pills to keep me awake, and I know that that in itself has affected my anxiety and probably brought on panic attacks or massive episodes of lashing out in anger. This is going to be a pretty transparent podcast on my part. I'm just sharing how I've been affected. I'm being affected, and how I hope to use all of this for good. Like I said, this is my 36th year on the planet in this meat suit. And I am a lost soul right now. And I know that sounds extreme, but I do. I feel very, very lost. And you guys are catching me actually at a decent time. I don't feel super lost like I did this morning, but I still feel lost. And like I said before, sometimes you just have to sit in your mess, and you have to sit in your hurt, and you have to sit in your pain. And I think that I have just moved through it as quickly as possible for a long, long time in fear of showing weakness. And it's all built up. It's built up. It's built up in my heart, and it's built up in my brain. And I think I'm even seeing where it's built up physically in physical pain with my body. And we store all these hurts and these traumas in our body, and they physically affect us, and they physically manifest into different diseases. And I'm definitely going to talk about that too. There's just so much to share that I feel like can be beneficial. As much as I love to make people laugh, right now at this point in my life, laughter is not the best medicine. It is a mask, and I got to take these masks off, and I've got to expose myself. And so many of you have been on this crazy journey with me for a while anyway, for like the last 5 or 6 years, through different podcasts and different social media mediums and all these things, that I feel like I owe this to everybody too. And I am very, very fortunate in that I have this group of people that cares and reaches out to me and says, "Hey, how are you?" And a lot of you have actually noticed and said, "Hey, are you okay? And what, you know, are you going through things?" You've had a couple of like very public meltdowns on social media and things of that nature. And so I have felt very, very alone in the last 6 months, even though I know that there are people who love and care for me. When you're this far down in the pit, you can't see those people. You can't see those boats that are coming for you and that want to throw you a lifeline. Because sometimes you've just got to sit on that island by yourself, and you gotta feel it all, and you gotta work through it. There's no more band-aids, and there's no more suppressing. It's just let it all come out, and that's basically what this podcast is. And I'm so grateful that you took the time to listen, and that you're gonna go through this with me, and you're going to share your experiences, and I want you to know that this is a safe place. And I'm sure there's going to be some times that, you know, I really put my foot in my mouth, but I'm going to be as mindful as I can to not do that, and only share from my experience and my journey, and also giving my friends and the guests on the show a voice to share their experience and their journey. And hopefully you can draw some strength or some coping skills from this. So you've been listening to Not Terrible with Jess Hooker in conjunction with The Chick McGee Show and the Off the Air podcast. Recorded in the Front Room Studios, this has been a Waco production.